Our New Testament lesson this morning comes from Romans, the 14th chapter, the first 12 verses. Welcome those who are weak in faith, but not for the purpose of quarreling over opinions. Some believe in eating anything, while the weak eat only vegetables. Those who eat must not despise those who abstain, and those who abstain must not pass judgment on those who eat, for God has welcomed them. Who are you to pass judgment on servants of another? It is before their own Lord that they stand or fall, and they will be upheld, for the Lord is able to make them stand. Some judge one day to be better than another, while others judge all days to be alike. Let all be fully convinced in their own minds. Those who observe the day, observe it in honor of the Lord. Also, those who eat, eat in honor of the Lord, since they give thanks to God, while those who abstain, abstain in honor of the Lord and give thanks to God. We do not live to ourselves, and we do not die to ourselves. If we live, we live to the Lord, and if we die, we die to the Lord. So then, whether we live or whether we die, we are the Lord's. For to this end, Christ died and lived again, so that he might be Lord of both the dead and the living. Why do you pass judgment on your brother or sister? Or you, why do you despise your brother or sister? For we will all stand before the judgment seat of God, for it is written, "As I live, says the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue shall give praise to God." So then, each of us will be accountable to God. The word of God for us, the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Would you join me in a word of prayer? God, may we receive your word this morning. May we hear from you. Open up our hearts so that you might transform us to look more like your son, Jesus. It's in his holy and precious name that we pray. Amen. I remember the first time I ever noticed what I'll call group grilling dynamics. Have you ever watched the grill at a cookout? I remember I was at a cookout. My family was having people over, and it looked exactly like you would imagine a cookout would. The kids are running around everywhere. Me and my friends were doing that. Most of the women were inside talking, and the men were outside, huddled around the grill. And young Jeff, probably a teenager or a little bit younger at this point, figured that if all of the men were doing this one thing, that it must be something essential for manhood, and so I figured I would watch and figure out the mysteries of grilling. And what I noticed was that every single one of them had something to say about the way that the burgers were flipped. They all seemed to be experts about which patty should be flipped at which time and how exactly to do this. And ever since then, I've found that men always have an opinion about how to grill. We love to get our way. Whether we're 2 years old or whether we're 102, people like to be in control. They like to have a say in the way things go. So this morning, we are going to be talking about accepting differences. We're right in the middle of a sermon series here at Shamley First that's entitled Tied Up in Knots. N-O-T-S. And last week we talked about accepting criticism when we deal with situations when we have to hear what we don't want to hear. And so we looked at Matthew 18 when Jesus gives us kind of a blueprint for how to handle conflicts that we deal with other people. And today we're going to be talking about accepting differences when we run into situations where they are not what we would have done. Now, accepting differences can be a little bit difficult for us because we love things our way. We live in a have-it-your-way kind of society. We champion individualism. We dread group projects, and we measure success by the number of people that are following our way. And I think it's innate in us to have this desire to be the one leading the way and calling the shots. I was at youth this last Sunday night, and after the meal and after the music, there was a time for a game. It was a throwback game last week. They were playing musical chairs, but there was a twist. The twist was that the students got to call the shots. The different students got to be the leader each round. They would get to start and stop the music. They got to pick their own rules, and they were able to enforce their own rules. And you know what I found? They all wanted to be in charge. We love to have our own way. We know how we would do things, and we like to tell other people when that is not the way that we would do them. But throughout this sermon series, my prayer for this church is that we would not be a group of people that point at others and say, that is not my way, but that we might be a group of people who turn our eyes upward and say, Jesus, your way is my way. I think it's dangerous for us to believe that our way is the only way. Because as Christians, we should think that Jesus is the only way. And frustratingly so, sometimes, if we read the Bible carefully, it'll tell us that Jesus' way can be even broader than our way. So how do we know if we are following Jesus' way? It's a question that as Christians we need to ask ourselves. It's a question that those who aren't Christians but might be interested are probably already asking. And it's a question that some have probably asked before and received poor answers and have been burned by the church because of it. And it's this question, how do we know if we are following Jesus' way, that it seems the church in Rome is asking when Paul wrote the letter that we read this morning. Keep in mind that the church at this point is not quite 30 years old, and they're trying to figure out, how do we know if we are following Jesus' way? They're trying to figure out who they should allow in and who they should keep out. And as we would expect with human nature, everyone thinks they know the right way. And quickly, different groups, different factions grow up in this church, and there are the people on the inside and the people on the outside. And on one hand, what you have are the people that Paul are writing to, the people who seem to understand what it means to be a follower of Jesus. Yet even though they understand what it means to follow Jesus, Paul is still encouraging them to actually live out the things that they understand in their mind. On the other hand, we have the people who, in this passage, are called those who are weak in their faith. Now, I think that this passage was talking about those people who were legalistic, people who were more concerned with the letter of the law than they were with the actual love that the law is getting at. These people are the people that Jesus was talking to in Matthew 23:23, when he says, "Woe to you, teachers of the law. You tithe, you give 10% of all of your spices, but you neglect the weightier matters of the law. You neglect justice and mercy and faithfulness." These legalists are the people who followed all the rituals but missed out on the relationships that come from them. And it's easy for us to criticize legalists, easy to criticize people that are not doing it our way and point our finger at them and tell them that they are doing it all wrong. But the scripture this morning challenges us to welcome those who do it differently than us. And welcoming people who are different than we are is one way that we move from focusing on our own way of doing things to focusing on God's way of doing things. So are you willing to invite in and accept people who look differently than you, who look differently than us? There's a popular quote in Methodism that goes, a lot of people like to attribute it to John Wesley. I'm not totally sure that he was the first person to say it, but we like to claim that anyways, and I think it's a helpful way for us to organize our thoughts. And it goes, in essentials, unity. In inessentials, liberty, but in all things, charity. Which means that in the essentials of our faith, we have to be unified. We have to be unified in proclaiming the gospel of Jesus Christ, him crucified, dead, buried. 3 days later, he resurrected, and through whom we have the forgiveness of sins and the hope of resurrection. We have to be unified in this, but in the inessentials, we must show liberty. We must show acceptance. I think this is how we must read verses like verse 6, when Paul writes, "Those who observe the day, observe it in honor of the Lord. And those who eat, eat in honor of the Lord, since they give thanks to God. While those who abstain, abstain in honor of the Lord, and they give thanks to God." We show acceptance for those parts of our faith that are inessential. In this passage, it was particular dietary habits or the day of the week in which people worship. I love the way Chris did the children's sermon, talking about who's left-handed and who's right-handed. The inessentials of our faith. But in all things, we must have charity. Old English way of saying love. In all things, we love. So are we willing as a church to have unity, to show liberty, and cover everything we do in charity? This is what I hope that you hear this morning, church, that our differences should not cause us distance from God. Our differences should not cause us distance from God, because the goal of Christianity is for us to grow closer to God and our own relationship with him. But also, as a church body, we should grow closer to God. We should help others grow closer, whether they know him already or whether they don't. The goal of Christianity is for us individually and corporately to grow closer to God, and so our differences should not cause us to be distant from God. The key to Paul's whole message this morning that we read from here in Romans is that we are all subjects of God. The focal point of his argument is the fact that Jesus is Lord. Because if we believe that Jesus is Lord, we won't be so concerned about whether people are doing it our way or not. If we believe that Jesus is Lord, we won't be concerned about judging someone else's faith. If we believe that Jesus is Lord, then we will celebrate when other people join us in proclaiming him as Lord. And we will welcome them in. So are you willing to lay your way aside? Are we willing to follow Jesus and claim him Lord in our life? Because in the way of Jesus, there is room for differences. In the way of Jesus, people live out their faith in a way that honors God. In the way of Jesus, we do not live to ourselves and we do not die to ourselves. Whether we live or whether we die, we are the Lord's. We may have our differences. There may be things that can cause division, but we will be unified around the act of worshiping Jesus. A few months ago, I had the opportunity to go and speak for a youth retreat. They were going down to the beach, and there was about 100 middle school or high school students. And I preached 5 times in 3 days. It was a fun trip. There was a lot going on. And before each session, there would be a time for a student to give a testimony. Now, the second night, I remember specifically the kid's testimony. You could tell when he got up there that this kid was a little bit different than the other kids. In the way that he acted and the way that he talked, you could tell he wasn't exactly like his peers. And so he began to tell his story. And he began to tell about how he was treated differently. That people would make fun of him because he was different, and that he had been bullied and he had even wrestled with depression, all because he was different. But slowly, he began to realize that his differences should not keep him distant from God. And he began to realize that Jesus' way was not the same exact way as all of his peers. He began to realize that there was room for him in the love and the grace and the acceptance that comes from proclaiming that Jesus is Lord. And as he shared his story, you could tell that through his vulnerability and through his faithfulness, there was not a dry eye amongst 100 middle schooler and high school students. They stood up, they applauded his courage, and I hope that by hearing his story, they realized, and maybe we can realize here this morning, to see past our differences, that we might unite in calling Jesus Lord and following him. So may you see that Jesus' way is greater than our way. May we learn to accept differences in the things that are inessential in our faith, but most importantly, may we unite around the essential act of proclaiming Jesus as Lord, of me, of you, of all creation. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen. We're going to continue worshiping with our last hymn. There's a wideness